Last Sunday night, we kind of started a little thought, tried to use an illustration of parallel parking. Everybody remember that was here? And all of us that's passed our driving test in the state of Missouri and maybe other states too, one of the exercises that you have to do is be able to prove to the driving tester or instructor, whatever you call him, that you're able to parallel park. And the procedure for that is positioning the car in the right spot and turning the wheels the right way. And as you begin to back up, knowing when to turn the wheels the other way and maneuvering that car in between two other cars, in a parallel fashion. And so I related to you, seemed like one of the boys brought it to my attention of a video of someone that parked their car, parallel parked it, at a very high rate of speed. They come from the opposite direction, and at just the right point, I don't know what they did, if they pulled the emergency brake or slid. Anyway, the car slid around, made kind of a U-turn, and just slid sideways right in between two cars. And when they got out, it was so close that I couldn't have walked between the bumpers even sideways. I mean, it was just mere inches between the bumpers front and back. And there was enough black rubber on the parking lot there that they did this in to know that they'd been practicing a lot. And I presume that they practiced with maybe plastic cones or something instead of new cars like they did for the video. But and what I was trying to get us to think about is some people might look on and say that's craziness and recklessness and all of that, but there is undeniably a level of skill involved in being able to slide your car into a U-turn and parallel park at the way that person did that. So I would like for us to begin. We read some scriptures in Ezekiel chapter 40 last Sunday night about how that Ezekiel had a vision. It was a picture in his mind of what the temple looked like. And he had measurements. He gave us all kinds of measurements of the temple. And it's important for us to know what the temple of God should look like. It's important for us to know that our bodies are to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And consequently, if it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, then there are things about our conduct and our appearance and all of those kind of elements that logically, fundamentally, technically, either belong or don't belong. We believe as a body of people that there are activities and there are modes of dress. There is conversation that we should avoid. It shouldn't be part of our lives. And in Micah 6 and 8, we read that verse. He says that he has shewed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. There is written in the scripture expectations for all of us that are fundamental. This is how we are to maneuver ourselves as a Christian, as a professing Christian in our world today. We read Ephesians, the fifth chapter, the first five verses, where the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he told them there were specific things that should not be named once amongst them. And today, I think it's fair for us to come to the realization, or if we're not, I believe we all are, but to realize that there are parameters that the Scripture does not give us any latitude on. We are not to be idolatrous and worship other things besides it says he's a jealous God. We're to worship him only. We can't have a divide. We can't serve two masters. That's in the black and white. We are not to partake of the sensual things that the world presents to us. We can't maintain our integrity with the Lord. It's the Scripture says you can't take fire in your bosom and not get burned. We teach, we believe that we are to be upright, not have a... our Sunday school lesson here recently was about having divers weights or different weights. We should be honest and fair in all of our dealings. It shouldn't be something that we buy with one set of scales per se and sell with another. All of those things I would like to identify as being a parallel to or a similar, an example of learning how to technically parallel park a car. All right? It's get it in the right position, turn the wheels the right way, you begin to back and you maneuver into the spot and you're done. And it'll work. But I believe that the Lord has something for us that is more personal than that. And it's something that he can only lead us into with the Holy Spirit. I'd like for us to turn to James, the fourth chapter, and I would like to look at a common verse here. James chapter 4, and verse 17 is where we want to read. He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know what the book says and we don't do it, there's a violation. But did you know that if we don't know and we transgress what the book knows or what the book says, that we have an obligation to know what the book says? All right, I'll give you a better illustration. I've got a few speeding tickets in my life. I haven't got one for decades now, and I'm very thankful for that. But it seems like the ones that I have got, every speeding ticket I've ever got, except for one, I haven't got a lot of them, but every one of them that I have got has been from a small town police officer. And it's because I came into the city limits and didn't realize I was in city limits, and I didn't know that the city's speed limit dropped to 35 or whatever it was. Or I remember one time I was coming home, had been away from my wife and family for the weekend, or for a couple of days anyway, for doing some training, and I was on my way home, a little town in southern Oklahoma, and I went through, it was one of these towns that had two gas stations and no stoplights, and, you know, just little bitty place on Highway 69, and as I was coming through town, I thought I'd passed all the businesses, and I had assumed that I was out of the city limits, and I hit the resume button on my cruise control, and I just got back up to speed. I don't remember what the speed limit was, if it was 55 or 65 at that time on Highway 69, but I just resumed my speed, and all of a sudden the lights came on, and I got stopped, and I was told I was still in a 45 zone, and I didn't realize it. But I had an obligation to know. At least the ticket I got said I did. So we have an obligation to know. The scripture tells us that we ought to study to shew ourselves approved, right? We ought to know. Lord, help me to understand, help me to apply myself to read and know what the scripture technically says. When it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, when it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, when it says, thou shalt not look upon a woman to lust after her, when it says, thou shalt not, all of those things. Help me to know what that, how that fits in the day that I live. All right? I have an obligation to study and to know that. That is knowing how to parallel park, if you will. But the enemy likes to introduce things, whether it's accusations that's false or whether it's introduced temptations to us that we're hard-pressed, at least initially, to know how to apply them and how that they fit with the Word of God. I was talking around the dinner table a little bit today. You know, the people that have got in trouble for with our law enforcement, our judicial system, that have got in trouble years ago for bootlegging, making moonshine. You know what they were charged and prosecuted with? Tax evasion. It is hard to produce. It is hard to prosecute them for what they actually were doing, but they knew that they weren't reporting it as income. You know, there's a law that says that if you're a burglar and you don't report your income, that you can be prosecuted for tax evasion. If you sell drugs and you don't turn in your income from selling drugs, you know what most likely you'd be prosecuted with? Tax evasion. That's the easiest thing for our judicial system to prosecute you with is tax evasion. You part of organized crime where you're manipulating markets and all that, you know what they, some of those, that's where we got started, a big name in the mafia or something like that. You know what he got charged with and sentenced for? Tax evasion. You know, sometimes it's hard to know just what I'm doing, how it fits with the scripture. But there's probably a principle there that we're violating if we're not being pleasing to the Lord in it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So, he says here, and I believe this is a verse that kind of introduces what my burden is this evening. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, what do we know? I've already said that there are places and times in our lives that pleading ignorance, I honestly did not know. I remember one time getting a speeding ticket when I came into town, and another time when I was leaving town. And both times I was oblivious of the city's boundaries and the speed limit. I had not perceived that the speed limit was at a lower rate. And I remember in Kansas one time getting a speeding ticket. We had went to a funeral at a place I wasn't acquainted with and come into town. And anyway, I was supposed to know. At least that's what the officer said. I was supposed to know. But beyond that, there are times that maybe there's not any speed limit signs. Maybe there's something that comes along and the enemy is introducing something that it's hard to know. Where does this fit in the scripture? And Jesus said, not Jesus, the apostle here said, that therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So how do we know? Well, he told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. And we know that power that came was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Lord wants that for every one of us. If we're one of his children, he wants us to be filled with that power. He wants us to have a level of communication where he can help us to know what the danger is and how to know what to avoid and what to embrace in our life. And it starts helping us to know how to practice, if you will, a high-speed parallel parking maneuver. It helps us to start understanding there's something that doesn't sound right in this. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's something that I ought to be involved in. Do you get what I'm trying to say there? There's something coming along. It's coming. It's being introduced into the world. There's been things that all of us have had to struggle with, knowing is this wrong or is it not wrong? All right? So I'd like to move over a little bit to Proverbs, the third chapter. Notice what he said. You know, the scripture tells us that Solomon, and he's accredited with a lot of Proverbs, whether this one is his proverb or not, I'm not going to go into that because I'm not prepared to answer that. But there's an assumption that this is to his credit. Scripture teaches us he's the wisest man that ever lived, and I believe anyone that God gives wisdom to has to be wiser than men's wisdom. All right? So he says here in Proverbs 3, beginning verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know what our own understanding tries to do? It tries to rationalize what's right about something. Immediately, that's what we try to do. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The Lord wants to give us a level of understanding where we can perceive the workings of the enemy to undermine. It might be faith. It might be to undermine our confidence. It might be to undermine our acceptance and belief of God's sovereignty. It might be trying to undermine our understanding of what it means to be saved. It might be something that is coming along trying to undermine our a doctrine of living above sin. It may not come along and say, I don't think you are attacking that directly, but it's an introduction of something that would cause deterioration. And we want the Lord to give us, lean not to our own understanding. He said in James, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. That's to me, James was introducing the idea that the Lord wants to have a personal relationship that goes beyond, well, I got it between the lines. I'm thankful for our hard surface highways. And I'm thankful that we have not only just the lanes that we drive in, but we have a fairly wide shoulder on a lot of our roads. When I was a young man, I remember the road specifically going to the town that had our high school in, had a very limited gravel shoulder, and that can be very apprehensive to get off of the pavement and onto a gravel shoulder. And it was a kind of an odd road because one lane was blacktop and one was concrete. there was a reason behind that, but it was not as wide as our two-lane roads today. And I remember a funny time that some of us older ones was riding in the back of the bus. You know, the bus extended way past the axle, and the concrete side had these sections, and the bus done this bumping, and we got to bouncing in rhythm with the bumps, and the bus driver got onto us because we were making the front of the bus go up and down, I guess. But I'm thankful for the width of our roads. I'm thankful for the shoulders. But you know, we have automobiles today that's looking at the white line. And it helps us, you know, if we start to get over too close, it'll make our steering wheel vibrate, and sometimes it'll kind of help us steer back. We want the Lord to be able to give us those little nudges. Yes, there's a 8-foot shoulder over there. There's a 12-foot shoulder over there. There's plenty of room to drive or to pass. Although that's illegal. You read the book. You're not supposed to pass on the shoulder. But there's room to drive over there. The law says don't do it. I'm telling you that we're going down life's pathway, and the devil says, well, there's room to drive over there. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit that has his radar detection system, that if we'll allow it, he will give us some little nudges. Have you anybody ever drove one of those cars? You know what I'm talking about? If you've never driven one, it sounds a little, a little apprehensive. But if you get over close, the steering wheel just kind of like a foot massager or something. It just kind of nudges a little bit, and sometimes it'll kind of pull the steering wheel a little bit. And if you want to cross the line, you don't have much power steering, but you can cross the line if you want to. You know, the Lord will let us cross the lines too. He'll let us do that. And he'll let us slide out of control. Now, the fellow that parked at a high rate of speed, it looked like he was out of control. And sometimes people can look on us and say, I think you're taking this a little too far. The Lord hadn't showed me that. You know, they might have not been listening too. Lord, help us to be attentive and listening. I believe the Lord wants us to know how to be aware of His nudgings. He said here in Proverbs 3 and 5, He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Where does it say, I've heard this several times, where does it say in the scripture that we can't do that? You ever heard that expression? The devil will be behind that a lot of times. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You remember, we've had some thoughts here recently about being prosperous in our spirit. The Lord said that he would let us have some things, and he's let people have things in the past, but he sent what to their souls? He sent leanness. That's not prosperity. We want to stay in the center of his will. You know, those steering mechanisms and control systems, they don't bother you as long as you stay between the center line and the white line. There's no sensation, there's no vibration, there's no noise. I would probably be a better driver if I had one of those. Because I tend to wander around quite a bit. The Lord wants us to not wander around. He wants us to listen. He wants us to gain skill. And if the occasion presents it, He wants us to be able to park, if you will, in a spot at a high rate of speed. He wants us to have that level of skill. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. I don't feel like I'm being too specific today. My intent is to introduce the concept and the idea and to put in us, with the help of the Lord, a desire to be led by His Spirit, to be able to hear the nudgings of the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. And I want to notice here, David was instructing the Levites to appoint singers. And those that would be able to help in the worship service. And he said in verse 22, and Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. I remember times down through my life that the person that was leading the singing, maybe at a home congregation, but particularly I remember this happening at camp meeting, where the song leader would just stop and maybe give the congregation a little admonition about staying in time or with the song leader or give some specific instructions about how we were to sing something and what maybe a little symbol meant on the page and whether it meant to pause or whether it meant that we were to sing it softly or loud or what. They gave us some instruction on that. And I think that it's appropriate for us today. I don't think we should become so rigid that we can't just sing from the heart, because I want us to do that, but it doesn't hurt for us to have a little better understanding. There's a reason that they put those little dots on the page where they do in the bass clef and the treble clef. There's a reason for the little flags and whether there's one flag or two flag on the notes. There's a reason for all of that. And it's because they want the timing and the pitch and the melody and all of that to come through as the songwriter intended for it to. So it says here that this man had this position. This man was asked to do this because he said he instructed about the song. He was able to give good information. And it says, because he was skillful. The Lord wants us to be skillful in understanding how His Spirit works. One of the greatest challenges that I have in my line of work today is knowing or trying to understand what some of the strategies are behind the processor control systems that we have. There are several places in our vehicles that if something doesn't respond to a command of the computer, it goes into what we call a fail-safe mode. And it just defaults to doing something worse than it did earlier. And maybe it causes a real inconvenience for the driver. There are vehicles today that when there's a fault occurs, it'll come up with a message and it'll say, reduce power mode. I seen one just the other day, in 7 miles, a speed will be reduced to 4 miles an hour. It's a strategy. What makes it do that? What did it see that it doesn't like? It means that I need to have more skill to know how that works. The Lord wants us to know, how does this Holy Spirit work? Well, the Holy Spirit to lead you into doing something that violates His nature? No, He won't do that. He won't lead us into doing something that's obnoxious. He won't lead us into doing something that disrespects His laws. He won't do that. And it doesn't matter what somebody else says that they're doing. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to use an illustration here. And I don't mean to offend anybody that's present or somebody that might listen. Jesus is not going to lead you. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to get a tattoo on your forehead that says Jesus loves you. Because He says very plainly in Leviticus that we're not supposed to put any markings on our body. All right? He's not going to lead us to do that. And somebody says, well, I'm doing this for the Lord. No, you don't understand what the Holy Spirit is. All right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to be skillful in understanding what the Spirit says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Don't get me wrong. It's one thing to have a message on our phone that says Jesus loves you. It's another thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cross a line when God said don't put a marking on your body and you go get a tattoo about Jesus loving you. It's not that Jesus doesn't love you. He just said don't do the tattoo. And there's a lot of people out there that get Jesus tattoos. And I'm just telling you, the Scripture tells us plainly not to do that. I got chapter and verse for that if you want it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Let him himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the question this evening is, do we have the mind of Christ? We have seen people that wore little bracelets and maybe had a bumper sticker and maybe a little tag on their keychain that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, it's important for us to know what the mind of Christ is. What we have to be skillful in understanding the direction of the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us into doing something that violates the written word, nor is it going to cause us to violate His character. This is a fairly complicated concept, but we have to realize that the Lord wants to fill us with His Spirit, just like He did the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And He wants that Spirit to be able to lead us and guide us into all things, to where we can perceive and know what we ought to do. James 4:17 says, "To him that knoweth to do God good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." What is the Lord leading us to do? Are we allowing Him to lead? Are we becoming skillful in knowing the mind of the Lord? Or do we have to have some thunderbolt that shakes us to the very core? You know, the Lord wants us, in the Old Testament, it talked about the prophet that witnessed all kinds of demonstrations, and it got down till he heard the still small voice. And when he heard the still small voice, he knew that it was God speaking to him. You know, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to hear the voice behind us saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." You know how difficult it is for me today to hear the voice behind me? I'm literally speaking. You know how hard that is for me? It's pretty hard. I hear my wife speaking, but I don't understand what she's saying. If she turns and faces me, I have a much better chance of hearing her. It's not because I'm tired of listening to her. It's because my ears don't work like they used to, and she talks to me while she's looking out the window when we're driving down the road. It just happened. And it's like, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear you." Or I repeat what I think she said, and she laughs because it's not even close. And so when he says that we should hear the voice behind us, what does that mean? It means that we're attentive. It means that we have some practice in listening and knowing the tone. You know, the prophet knew that all of the big demonstrations, that really wasn't the Lord. It was that calm voice, the still small voice. You know, someone, if we're in a conversation and someone is speaking softly, we can kind of get acclimated to that, but just a soft voice that is a change of the background noise, I don't hear it today. I don't hear some of those tones. But now if somebody's been speaking to me, then I'm kind of tuned into that. And maybe I turn my ear just right, or I'm looking at them or something. We need to be attentive like that. We need to be skillful in knowing, is this the Lord speaking? We need to know what it sounds like. And we need to be prepared to hear what He says. He said, "The natural man don't get it." I'm paraphrasing it. "The things of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, they're foolishness to him." I don't know how you got that. I don't see where the Bible says that you can't do that. I don't see that the Bible says you have to do something. He says, "Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, each one. He says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? You know, many times we say, Lord, we need some direction. We need some wisdom. And I believe that's another message, knowing the difference between wisdom and the Lord's leadership. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do we tonight? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Or are we saying, I don't see where it says that. I'm going to drive over on the shoulder a while. And we get over there close to the white line, and our steering system goes, it shakes our steering wheel, and we say, I don't know something's wrong with the car. You know, the first time you drive one of those vehicles and you get close to the line and the steering wheel shakes, you think tire's out of balance or something. I don't know what's wrong with this car, but I want to drive on the shoulder. And you can just go, you can drive on the shoulder. I got stopped one time for driving on the shoulder. Didn't get a ticket that time, but that's the reason I found out. You weren't supposed to drive on the shoulder. I didn't really read it in the book, but they told me when they stopped me. I'd like for us to turn maybe to Romans, the 14th chapter. I'll try to wrap up our thought this evening. Romans 14, maybe verse 5. Try not to dwell on this too much, but just want to try to give us a little illustration. One man, it says, esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Yet every man, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know, personal convictions is not the same as personal desires. And being fully persuaded is not having an unyielding personal perspective. What he's talking about here is a position that the Holy Spirit would lead you to. In 2 Peter, he tells us that 1 and maybe 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. Personal convictions. Scripture is not of some private interpretation. I'd like for us to include 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 in this thought. The Apostle Paul did a lot of teaching in Romans and 1 Corinthians. Peter did a lot of instructing too. Paul especially was speaking to people of pagan backgrounds. Didn't have much foundation. They didn't know really what the book said to start with. And then they were being introduced to Holy Spirit leadership. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How does this fit? The Holy Spirit, how many Holy Spirits are there? Just one. There's one God, there's one Christ, and there's one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's going to cause us to be fully persuaded and going to lead us to a personal conviction. Did you know that he's going to lead somebody else there too? It's going to be something that the Lord is going to give a revelation to. Not just one person, but it's going to be something that the Lord will be, He will bring some convincing evidence. This is a direction I want you to go. This is a position that I want you to take. He says that we should all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions. You know, division is a tactic of the devil. You know, we said that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us, and it won't violate God's character, and it won't violate His word. And the devil comes along and says, those people aren't getting the light. You better separate yourself. That's the devil. He wants to cause division. He wants to cause us to go off on a tangent. He wants us to go off and hide to ourselves. I believe there's times that we have to pray for one another. The Lord will help us all to be able to see the same thing. You understand what I'm talking about? A level of skill in knowing the Holy Spirit. It's more than just getting up beside and turning the wheels the right way. And I'm going to read the book and do this step by step. You know, I've tried to type up a checklist to help some others that would try to do things like programming modules and getting on a specific internet site. And some of you younger ones, it seems like you just have a natural ability to navigate some of that. But I don't have that, and I need a special instruction sometimes. And I've tried to write that out and hand the others at our place of work. This is the procedure. And there's always something I forgot. There's always some little thing you're supposed to click on, it seems like I forgot. You know, the Lord wants to be able to help us to know what we're supposed to click on next and how to navigate. He wants us to have a level of spiritual connection with Him that He can, in spiritual skill. We know that that's not like the Lord. I don't think this is something He'd want us to do. That's that spiritual understanding that I'm wanting us to get a hold of. We can be fully persuaded and be at complete odds with everybody else. Did you know that? But that's not where the Holy Spirit would like to lead us. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us in random directions. He's going to lead us to come together. All right? Philippians 3. Bear with us just a little bit more. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. What's he talking about? He's talking about saved and sanctified individuals. That's what he's talking about. Then he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The Lord is going to reveal His plan to all of us. We don't have to be the one that's a recognized leader or spiritual. There's not. We have equal access to this Holy Spirit, and He will lead us all. You know that if I learn the same techniques that driver had, that slid his car in at, I don't know how fast he was going. If I learn those techniques and I practice those techniques, did you know I can park the same way they can? Do you know that if we apply ourselves to know the mind of Christ, that we'll be able to come to the same realizations that others that are filled with the mind of Christ will? It will happen. We will be able to do that. There's more that the Lord wants for us than I believe in following the book. And I believe that's part of it. But the Lord wants us to be able to be perceptive, because the devil comes along and tries to introduce something to get us off on a tangent so he can cause us to be discouraged. So the devil wants us to separate ourselves. You know, the most dangerous thing in a flock or a herd of livestock that has young is for the weak and the younger to get separated. And at that time, predators can take advantage of that. A little calf that gets off by itself, maybe it has an injury or something and it can't keep up with everyone else. If the mother doesn't go back and stay with it, you know, it's susceptible to coyotes, a little lamb. That's why Jesus gave the parable of the one lost lamb, of going out. It was very susceptible to predators. We will be too. If the enemy allows us to get separated in our thinking and not being willing to listen to the urging and the nudging of the Spirit, you pray for me. I want to have more Holy Spirit skillfulness in my life. I want to be able to perceive, what does the Lord require of me? You pray for me.